It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. Long ago, in the hot, moist folds of the Amazon, a people walked and walked to keep the sun from setting. According to Peruvian writer Mario Vargas Llosa, the Machiganga Indians believed that if they stopped walking, the sun would fall from the sky. Then missionaries came with other beliefs. Soon after, settlers arrived to the Machiganga territory. Today, businessmen tell the Machiganga about a new kind of sun, a source of energy below ground to be transformed into power and money. For energy companies, the vast natural gas deposits on Indian land at Camisea represent energy independence for Peru and major exports to the U.S., where demand for gas is rising. For the 10,000 Machiganga, it means change, the unknown. Now, this story, part of Worlds of Difference, a series on global cultural change. It is reported by Jason Felch, Chris Raphael, and Sandy Tolan, who narrates the story.
We move slowly downriver in the thin light of a crescent moon. Three of us North Americans with three Machiganga guides in a long wooden boat powered by 55 horses in the back. We edge along the eddies of a small Amazon tributary, looking to the shore for our place to land. Flashlights blink out at us like fireflies. This is the edge of the new El Dorado called Camisea. Beneath us lie trillions of cubic feet of natural gas. It's said this will light up Peru, that this nation will use its Amazon to become an energy powerhouse, and that what's left over will be turned into liquid and sent by ship to help power gas-hungry California.
They say that there, under the ground, there is light that illuminates, but I've never seen it.
Morning now in a Machiganga village directly above the vast deposit of gas. An old woman sits cross-legged on a wooden porch.
I don't know what this gas is. Is it over there? Is it up above? Where might it be? I don't know.
Teresa Provincia Maria covers her face with her hand, smiling shyly, looking up at us from her work. She twirls a spool of cotton from her field, pulling out the single white strand to knit a traditional shirt called a kuchma.
I think in the future, when I no longer exist, there will be very hard changes. Now I hear noises in the mountains. What might it be? I don't know.
The noises and the changes come from the men who dig under the ground. Mrs. Maria knows about these men because her grandson works for them, a boat ride away at Camisea, where the gas will emerge from the belly of the earth.
My grandson already has another way of being. He's educated. He generates income. But me? I can't read. I don't know what money is.
The reporters ask the old woman, "So, do you think this is a good thing, this gas project?" "What do I know?" she asks. "I have one foot in the grave. I see that the animals have run away from all the noises, but my grandson has work. Go ask him." Fifty yards away, outside his one-room shack, Mrs. Maria's grandson lies back in his hammock. It's a day off for Wilfredo Marvaretti Vargas, who does maintenance for the consortium of gas companies.
I'm happy with the job I have. I don't want to be lazing around the community. When I'm at home, I'm losing time. I like to work. I have something to earn, and I can buy things I need.
Things like the stereo in his room hooked up to a car battery. Things like money, which helps him court a young Machiganga woman in a village downriver.
We could be equal to the settlers. They have comforts. They have light. Now that the companies are here, we need to take advantage to improve our houses. Assimilate ourselves to society.
Between Wilfredo Marvaretti and his grandmother, hope for progress and fear of irreversible change, Mr. Marvaretti tells us he agrees with his grandmother that the animals are fleeing the noise from the machines. All along the river now, there are fewer animals and fish to eat. And many people here remember the 1980s when gas workers first came to the area and nearly half of the tiny Nahua tribe was reportedly wiped out by epidemic disease. Wilfredo Marvoretti wonders about the price of gas. But if you follow the gas by pipeline out of the Amazon, across the frigid Andes, and down to the hazy capital of Lima, you will find officials who promise Wilfredo Marvoretti and his grandmother need not worry.
We have done everything by the book, following World Bank standards in the way we treat the environment.
Carlos Del Solar of Texas-based Hunt Oil, the lead company among seven that will ship liquefied Amazon gas up the Pacific toward California.
You cut a tree, you have to plant another tree. And what you see is a very professional handling of the environmental and also the relations with the community, preserving their heritage, their customs.
Royal Dutch Shell once held the Kamisea contract. Hammered by disastrous PR after oil-rich Nigeria executed the activist Ken Saro-Wiwa, Shell promised to make Kamisea its model rainforest project. The company promised to leave scarcely a footprint on the floor of the Amazon, but Shell pulled out a few years ago amid questions about the market for gas. People close to the project also say Peru's Fujimori administration was trying to extract bribes. Now demand is up again, both for export to the U.S. and in Peru. Officials in a new government say they'll convert Lima buses, taxis, and factories to run on cleaner natural gas. And the companies that took Shell's place say they, too, will treat the rainforest with respect and help the people modernize.
But also giving them the opportunity to form part of the civilized community, you know, to integrate themselves to the communities by working, being trained, being educated.
Back in the Amazon, in the Machigenga villages along the Urubamba River, many people see their choices in much the same way as Wilfredo Marvoretti and his grandmother, to aspire and get on board, or to remain wary and simply watch. We've come to Shima, a village of muddy paths snaking through thatch huts, coconut palms, bananas, and a living pharmacy of plants. To the south, a yellow halo behind a hill, the gas workers' camp.
In 2000, war began, and it's no longer like it was.
Village elder Pedro Vicente sits in a metal folding chair. He remembers Shell and its promises of a model project, but he says these new companies are not following through. Company officials point out they've installed new drinking water taps in part of the village, and they paid $170,000 to the community as compensation for putting the pipeline through here. This hasn't pacified Pedro Vicente.
We can live calmly now. The land, the trees are destroyed. There is change now, a transformation.
The next morning, we can see the transformation laid bare on a hillside where the pipeline crosses. Alongside a vertical path 100 feet wide lie hundreds of mud-coated trees, strewn wildly like so many toothpicks. Villagers say after the trees were cut, a landslide thundered down and buried an empty house, polluting a major source of the village drinking water. Machigenga activist Walter Katagari stands in the pounding sun, surveying the damage from above.
Now the companies with their community relations people say, with the best technology, they will remediate the impacts, but it doesn't work. We have seen the erosion here. We always say, they never do what they promise.
Within minutes, a helicopter approaches us as we walk down from the pipeline route and onto the village soccer field. Suddenly, we realize the chopper is landing. Kids abandon their game and scatter. Everyone's hair is flying in the rotor wash. Two pipeline workers emerge to scold us. We needed written permission, plus hard hats and long sleeves, to be walking that pipeline route. Walter tells them, your people treat us like we Machigenga are just in your way.
No,
the pipeline workers say. We're here because we are concerned about your safety. They repeat, you didn't have permission to walk along the pipeline. The reporters ask the representatives, but did you have permission to land unannounced in this village? No, they admit.
No, es algo que sea algo de emergencia.
The workers board the chopper again and leave. Walter starts to laugh. Walter says they don't really care about security. They're worried that reporters saw the erosion and landslide. And he says the Machigenga accept cultural change. They just want a say in how it's done.
Modernización, desarrollar, acceder a un nivel más de vida.
Modernization, development, access to better life. That doesn't mean a town has to be destroyed. Culture and the modernization, they have to go together.
La cultura debe estar siempre ahí. Y una modernización también bien organizado.
The workers and their machines are here now, but soon they'll be gone. Meanwhile, the Machigenga will have had a taste of modern life. For some, the long-term worry is dependence. A company anthropologist told us the villagers see the gas operation as the big papa. The attitude, he says, is while the company is here, let's get what we can. The companies see payments to a village like Shima as an exchange for a right-of-way to pass through here, a sharing of natural wealth. Now it seems villagers increasingly see the money as simply compensation for damages. We move downriver from Shima, across the great rapid known as the Pongu de Manike, where it's said the souls of the Machigenga go when they die, where they say it rains every time a gringo passes through here, and it did. Back in the lower Urubamba, moving again toward the source of the natural wealth, we learn that the worry over damages is growing.
This was the 15th of May, 2002. The spill went all the way to the Urubamba. It's all contaminated now. And there was another one on the 17th and the 20th of May and the 20th of July.
20 de julio.
A young man stands in a boat tied to the shore below his village of Chukoriari. He works for the pipeline company, one of five witnesses who told us of a total of six diesel spills from storage tanks used to run heavy equipment. All the spills reportedly ran into the Urubamba. He recounts the first spill.
It was during the night. There were special sponges to suck it all up. We all suffered as well. Petroleum burns. The skin peeled off our hands.
In each case, he tells us, giant black rubber bladders burst. Each contained 4,000 gallons of diesel. Now, the man tells us, there are no fish worth eating and less protein for the village. Now another man steps forward, claiming the company told him to stay quiet after he witnessed a spill.
They told me, you, as a peon, as a worker for this company, don't tell the community what happened. But my children, my family, and the future of our community, we are all hurt by this. They say if I talk about this, they will fire me. But I don't care.
Company workers on the river would not answer the reporters' questions. Via email from Lima, an official acknowledged some spills, but said they were contained. Our last stop is the headquarters for the Kamisea drilling operation, a large square of gravel and trailers housing petroleum workers from around Peru and the world. There, in a gully near the bank of the Urubamba, is young Wilfredo Marvaretti in his orange jumpsuit, hacking away at brush with his machete. His grandmother may not understand how light can come from under the ground. Mr. Marvaretti says he doesn't either. But he does know that money comes from there, and he's working for that as fast as he can.
I'm not going to be able to get my feet in the cup.
With this money, I have bought this battery and light. With the money, I hope to make my house better for when I get married. With the compensation, they should make a neighborhood with houses. And once that's done, they should bring electricity. It's necessary these days.
Soon, the wells will be drilled, most personnel will leave, and Wilfredo Marvoretti may not have any more work. If that happens, he says, he'll get married, grow yucca and banana, and be by his grandmother's side.
I'm very close to my grandma. I cannot go somewhere else. But I couldn't live like she lived before. It's different. I am educated. I need to know how to live in a house, not like she did, in the headwaters of the rivers.
For Living on Earth, with Jason Felch and Chris Raphael, this is Sandy Tolan reporting.
Our story on natural gas development in the Peruvian Amazon was made possible in part with funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Rockefeller Foundation. Production assistance from Ellen Ewan. Worlds of Difference is a project of Homelands Productions. For more information, visit our website at livingonearth.org.